You are listening to Joy 94.9 Sunday Arts Magazine. We've got our next guest in the studio.
Oh, legend.
Legend.
We're talking about legend here. I'm very, very excited to have her here. Who is it?
It is, I'm going to try and pronounce it correctly, Anouk van Dyk.
Very good.
Oh, thank you. From Chunky Move, welcome Anouk.
Thanks, guys. I'm so happy to be here.
We're glad to have you.
Absolute pleasure to have you here. So before we get into what Chunky Move is, and let's start off with you. Where did it all begin? You're from Holland?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I'm a Dutch girl from the east of Holland, which in Dutch context doesn't mean much. But, you know, when they say a girl from the east, everybody goes like, oh, yeah, right. Yeah, so I'm from the east. Proud girl from the east. But most of my time I spent more on the west side of the country. I've been living in Amsterdam for a very long time as well.
Okay. So where did the interest come for dance?
I guess it started off not being really interested in dance for a very long time, apart from an occasional flirt with tap dancing and Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers, Gene Kelly, particularly
cool.
The guys.
Yeah.
Singing in the rain, just awesome. That's what I wanted to do. And then the more like concert dance, you know, performance dance, I thought was pretty boring. Until about I was 15, I was taking some dance lessons, which I really enjoyed doing. And then one afternoon, my teacher was telling me, oh, my birthday is tomorrow. My friend is coming in from Paris. And he's giving me a very special birthday present because he's making a dance for me. And he's a professional dancer. Do you want to come and watch? So I was like, yeah, sure. That sounds exciting. And it was a small little studio where they would have judo in the day, the like judo mats and lots of sweat in that studio. It's a tiny studio. And I sat in a corner in that studio and that rocked my world.
Oh.
And I saw this professional dancer from Paris. His name was Ian. I've never met him after. He's my legend. And I saw a dancer up close and personal, and that was it.
Yeah. How did you end up here in Australia? Because you've been here a while now, haven't you?
Yeah, 6 years now.
Yeah.
So it's been quite a while.
There seems to be quite... I'm originally from Adelaide. Australian Dance Theatre used to have a lot of Dutch people perform there, and likewise back the other way.
That's right.
What is it with people from your neck
connection?
Of the woods in Australia?
I don't know. I mean, one of my very important teachers, Louise Franck, she danced with Australian Dance Theatre back in the days. I think there's always been a curiosity back and forth, Holland being this tiny, overpopulated mini place, you know, two-thirds of the size of Tasmania. And, of course, this vast continent with, you know, from a European perspective, empty, you know.
Yep.
So that's been my fascination to move here, apart from, you know, taking over the helm of Chunky Move, which is such an amazing honour to have been appointed as the artistic director.
So how did that come about? Yeah, like
Chunky Move, you know, it's been Gideon Obazanek, you know, he's the legend who started the company and who created this whole identity around Chunky Move and the notion that dance is adventure and is for much bigger audiences than they think there is. You know, it's like everybody should come see a Chunky Move show. It's accessible, but it's asking difficult questions at the same time. So Gideon did an amazing job in fostering that kind of excitement around adventure as being associated with dance. So I would be touring with my Dutch company worldwide, as would Chunky, and sometimes Gideon and I would run into each other in Moscow or in a festival somewhere in America. And I would see the company and he would see my work. So there's always been sort of a back and forth a little bit over the years. So when Chunky Move changed the helm in 2011, they did a global recruitment and I was very aware what the company was doing at the time. So I applied and here I am.
And here you are, 6 years down the track.
Can I just go back and look to when you, after that revelation of seeing Ian the dancer, how did you get into dance? Like, did you then go to be trained? And
I went home and my mom was reading the newspaper and I said, I want to be a dancer. So I didn't want to say I want to be a female dancer, as you would say in my language, but I said I want to be a dancer, like a concept.
And was she surprised by
that? And then she rolled her eyes and said, well, I'll call the local school and see if you're not too old because you're 15. And yeah, she called, literally, she called the school the following day. I auditioned, I was accepted, did my kind of pre, like the secondary training. I was accepted for professional training.
And you've been dancing ever since?
Yeah, I've been dancing and choreographing for a long time ever since. I danced in a company for quite some years. Started to choreograph in that same company already quite early, and then I realized I didn't know much about producing work. So I felt like I was lived by the company. My second commission was already for like a large stage, like a playhouse stage. I had no idea about how to make dance. And then I was in the wings, I remember, and it was a total disaster, that show. And I was in the wings, and I said to myself, I know, you're just going to start all over again. You don't know anything about producing art. So I resigned from the company, and black hole, I didn't know what to do. Yep. And fair enough, there was sort of like this sort of dance house organization starting up in Amsterdam in that time. And they'd seen my work, and in 4 weeks' time, they asked me, do you have ideas? Yeah. Do you want to make a work? Because that was a time when people hadn't applied. You know, independent dance didn't really exist yet. Yeah. You know, it was not a rat race as it is nowadays. And I said, yeah, sure, I have an idea. So then I started to make my first independent work. And that was much more where I wanted to be and grow. Yeah. So I started really as an independent maker. And I did everything myself. Taped the floors, made the phone calls, did everything myself for a very long time. And slowly grew into, you know, making very large shows and international co-productions and stuff.
Okay. Now, here you are in Melbourne, 6 years down the track. Contemporary dance is very big here in this town, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
why?
Great. I think, first of all, the arts community in Melbourne is large. And if you want to be an artist in Australia, that's a political choice. It's an intellectual political choice. So people are driven to make a difference, I think, and to explore who they are and how they can be who they are in their own right in the community. So there's a huge discourse across the independent sector in that. So I think that's a very big community that's here. And then on the other hand, there's the audience, which is this big, massive beast that likes spectacle because it's a sports it's a sports city as well. So, you know, we like ritual here. We like spectacle. We want to come together and experience something. And people travel far to do it because it's a sprawl. It's not that, 10-minute bike ride, you're in the theater. So you need to have a reason to go. So it's a festival city. It's a festival. Like, the festivals are really needed to make this heartbeat of this city because it's so vast. And that, for me, was a real big difference from coming from a city like Amsterdam, where it's a similar kind of a thriving arts culture, but it's tiny. So you put your billboards out in the street and people know what you're doing, whereas here you have to shout quite loud. So I think on one hand, there's very much that conscience. So there's this kind of, like, flirt with the adventure and the big and the spectacle. And then on the other hand, there's the response for the rigorous artist who goes like, no, I don't want to do that. I want to make intimate work. I want to make work that really matters. I want to talk about subject matters that really are from my heart. So I think that dichotomy in this city is very fascinating to me.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about Chunky Move. It's 6 years that you've been with them, as we've said. Why have... As that organisation become such a powerful force in contemporary dance here in Melbourne?
Well, you tell me. Why has it become such a powerful... I think what's really beautiful about Chunky Move and also everybody who is Chunky Move, so it's not only me, it's the staff, the board, the performers, all the creatives that we work with, that's all... So I see more like Chunky Move is like this funnel. So there's a lot of talent that comes together and then just like cooks a really exciting big 10 course meal together. And offers it to the audience, and the audience goes like, well, last year we had this meal. We're expecting a different one this year. So I think what happened over the years is because the works that we create are so diverse and change in scale. So there's works that we work across theater, visual arts, site-specific, large-scale collaborations with Art Centre Melbourne, Malthouse, Melbourne Theatre Company, company, recital center, et cetera, et cetera. That expectation gives this NGV.
We just did a big
collaboration called Accumulation with NGV. So I think the audience expects us to come up with something that they hadn't seen before.
And you keep on doing it. That's what I love about it. There was, and I can't remember the name of the show, but it was done outside, in that area outside, and it was at sunset every night.
Yeah, depth of field.
My God. What a great concept that was.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I created that in 2015 for the Dance Massive, and it was positioned on this very ugly piece of thoroughfare land on the other side of our building, where also Akka is housed. But if you sit there, there's a beautiful sunset, and you see the highways, and you see the high rises, and you see the city. You see the potential of the city in fruition and in building and in constantly reinventing itself. So,
and that was the backdrop.
That was the backdrop for the show. Yep. Yeah.
You are listening to Joy 94.9. We're on Sunday Arts Magazine, and we're chatting to Anouk van Dyk from Chunky Move.
Now, Anouk, tell us your new show. It's starting on the 26th of April. What's it called?
Common Ground.
Why is it called Common Ground?
It's called Common Ground for multiple reasons. Some of the reasons I cannot say, because there's a bit of surprise in the show happening.
Oh, okay. Tell us, you'll have to kill us.
No. All my shows always have this...
a little surprise.
Yeah. I have this concept called the reluctant boyfriend or girlfriend, whatever you want to see it. It's this person you bring to the theatre that didn't choose to come to the show.
Okay.
I always think of them...
In when you're creating.
Always, every work I make.
That's
so you
wanna, wonderful.
So you cater for them.
I cater for something. I think it's because my father just was only interested in the electricity vibes of the lights in the theatre. So he'd come to one of my shows and he would just say like, "Oh, who's this light? I think it was broken up there and there." And I just had opening night. So I'm aware that some people come to the come to a show because they're with somebody that they really like. So yeah, I take them into account as well. Common Ground is the title for the new show. It's with two beautiful dancers, Tara Samaya, with whom I've worked for quite a while. She was one of the star dancers in Depth of Field, the one at iconic one at the sunset. She was in Accumulation here at the NGV as well, and in multiple shows, Complexity of Belonging. She had a very big part in that one as well. And the other one is Richard Chilly, who is new to the company. He's more known for his work with Sydney Dance Company. So he brings a very different history, but now he's a Melbournean, a fresh Melbournean. So it's a show for two mid-career artists who have a lot of history in their bodies. They have a lot of, they kind of have a lot of shared history of Australian dance from different parts. Star used to work with Australian Dance Theatre in LA before she started to work Chunky Move. So it's almost like that kind of legacy of 10 years of history rooted in two people. And I wanted to kind of tease out what's common.
Oh, okay. There you go. Well, what are we going to see?
We see a dance floor. And two dancers.
Really?
It's very important. We see a dance floor and two dancers in a bare space. So the dance floor in this case is an object in the space, and the dancers do what they do best, which is entering a dance arena and dance their hearts out. That's the start of the show. And I also look at the dance arena as a place of ritual and a place of displaying power. And that comes more from my interest in spectacle and how spectacle is being displayed politically over the ages, which has brought me, for the research of this work, to Louis XIV, who was a king for a long time in his life. I think he was made king when he was four. And by the time he was 14, I think they concocted a sort of like a ritual around him to solidify his power, because he was really getting more into active reign by that time. So he was the center of a ballet called the... Le Roi Soleil, the Sun King, and he was the central figure in that ballet, and it kind of solidified his power on that moment in time. And that was the birth of Baroque dance shifting into a spectacle form, and that was the start of ballet. So in that time, men, not women, but men, were practicing ballet to create grace, because the grace would show that they were in control and in power, and this was a political vehicle for them. Now, if you look at our political arena nowadays, you know, reigned by the media and digital technology, and it's a similar thing. There's a spectacle of power displayed and ways how, after a G20, how through handshakes people show how and who's in control and who's ruling who.
Body language. Yeah.
Body language. You know, apart from that, suddenly we have Twitter as the thing that we somehow have to take, yeah, very seriously at the right now. And all the consequences from that. So on one hand, there's this story of the history rooted in the dancer's body and ballet as sort of like our ancestors. And on the other hand, there's this political display and power on the other hand that I see happening all the time. Now, those are the two influences that I'm putting into the work.
Right. Okay. With a surprise.
Yes.
Or two. Now, as you said, it starts on the 26th of April at your studio.
Yeah, in our lovely studio theatre. It's always a beautiful place for people to come and have nice drinks and chats.
That's and great. The rusty always, building.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. Lovely, yep. You know, at the start of fall.
Yeah.
Come hang out with us in the Orange Box. Yeah.
But then it's moving.
That is moving to Dandenong. Yeah, we have our first little step away already, right straight after on the, well, you have probably the dates, the 9th or the 10th. Oh, I should know this by heart.
Well, it finishes on the 5th of May there.
Yeah, so we are in the drum, I think, in the 8th. Yes, the 8th. We're in the drum theatre. So it's a show that will be a show that we can easily tour and that we hope to also bring out to regional Victoria.
Brilliant. And are you travelling overseas with it as well next year?
I hope so. Yeah. First thing that's travelling overseas is Anti-Graffiti, the show that we created for Dance Massive last year. So we bring that out in May. And then Complexive Belonging is doing a six-city tour later in the year.
Right. Because, like the company's very busy, isn't it?
Yeah. And then later in the year, we'll also have our next move season, which is very exciting. That's our emerging choreographers program.
Right. So go and support this wonderful organisation here in Melbourne. It's called Chunky Move, of course. And this woman sitting opposite us, who's a living legend of the company as well. And it's called Common Ground, their next production. So just Google, and friends of mine go to your dance classes, you know, like just the general classes.
Great. We love everyone taking a go at dancing. We have even absolute beginners classes.
Yep.
So you're never too old to start dancing. We've having 50 plus classes, and they are great. Those are big connections that are built over those classes.
So go to Chunky Move website and find out all the information. Thank you so much, Anouk, for coming in today.
Thank you so much.
You're on Joy 94.9. This is Sunday Arts Magazine.